Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, what's going on? Happy Monday. Good morning. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. One of the coolest things about the unlikely, I don't know about success, but career I have, people still pay me to talk about and write about sports, is that I get to talk to, and sometimes in some cases be friends with, some of the people I admire most in the business, from players, from athletes, former athletes, to those who cover those gentlemen, those ladies and gentlemen who play the sports we root for and watch and root against in some cases. And one of the guys that I like the most in combination, like independently, I like his work the most. I think he's incredible. Huge fan of his work, Sports Illustrated. And also, this is nice when this happens because it doesn't always happen. Everybody looks at D-Cell. Great guy is Howard Beck, who is one of the more talented NBA writers, reporters, insiders, podcasters in the country, and also a very nice man. And he is being nice right now and making time for a radio hit where he probably has better things to do. Hello, Mr. Beck.
Good morning, Mr. Writer. Thank you for that very kind introduction. I'm afraid you've oversold me, but I'll give my best.
All true. All right, so you've earned this. You're in rarefied status. Do you want to go straight to the hot take, what the Beck question, or do you want to kind of ease into it on a Monday morning?
We should probably ease into it. I'm not sure I'm quite there yet.
I understand. Few are. All right, so let's start with the latest series. Obviously, the Warriors have a commanding lead over the Mavericks at 3-0. No one has ever in the NBA postseason come back from a 3-0 deficit. If you're the Dallas Mavericks, and not that you're entirely giving up the ghost, Howard, but assuming that they do not come back and win this series, can you paint this run, this experience, the comeback against Phoenix, even if they lose handily to Golden State, as a win or an important step in the road to whatever they actually hope to accomplish with Luka Doncic?
Yes. Listen, I mean, they hadn't won a playoff series with Luka yet until now, and they're in the conference finals. That's a step. That's an important step. It's a necessary step. And, you know, they are far deeper in the playoffs than they had a right to be honest. I mean, nobody expected this when the playoffs started. Certainly nobody expected this when we were in preseason last October. No one was picking, maybe somebody did pick the Mavericks to go to the conference finals. And you knew that, you know, something might be possible because of some combination of Luka's greatness, his transcendence as a player, as a talent, and the fact that the West was a little unsettled. You know, I mean, you know, when the season started, Jamal Murray was already out, and then of course Michael Porter Jr. goes down, so Denver was out. You knew Kawhi Leonard was out. You knew that there was some volatility in the West, and maybe people weren't sure about the Suns even at that time. But nobody was picking the Dallas Mavericks to make the conference finals back in October, and nobody was picking them, I don't think, to make the conference finals a month ago, and here they are. So, given that they don't have a second star, given that the drop off after Luka, with all respect to Brunson and Dinwiddie and, you know, Maxi Kleber, like, there's just not a lot here. And so I think it's remarkable that they have gotten to this point. And if they get swept, you know what? I've seen better teams get swept. I've seen Shaq and Kobe get swept a couple of times. Like, it happens. They have achieved something absolutely just by being here. That's not spin or Pollyannish or anything else. This was an important step forward for them. They still have work to do. The Mavericks, and we knew that even before this began, even if they somehow had won this series, you'd still say, okay, yeah, but long-term, Luka needs a running mate. He needs a co-star. That's just the way this league works. It's very, very rare for a single star to do it alone.
Howard Beck here on the show. In an age of hyperbole, Howard, which mercifully I have never once, not a single time in my life, engaged in, accidentally or otherwise, in an age where we have a lot of talented guys, right? I mean, you can just go back the last few years and you could crown one guy as the future of the league, and in the moment it would certainly seem realistic or maybe even likely. How do we properly project or categorize a Luka Doncic who just turned 23, who is, even though he's about to perhaps be swept, doing incredible things statistically and beyond the statistics, just watching the game? How good might this guy be and become?
Well, I mean, he's already a perennial MVP candidate, right? He's a guy that we're going to pencil in as somebody we're going to talk about for in the MVP race, and who obviously got, you know, plenty of down ballot votes this season, and who will probably for the rest of his career. As long as the Mavericks are decent, he's going to be in that conversation. He single-handedly elevates a team. He's an incredible scorer and playmaker both. He manipulates defenses with the best of them. He has more work to do, though. I mean, you know, some of this is personnel. The Mavericks need better talent around them. As I say, everybody needs a co-star, and they don't have that. They hoped that was Porzingis, didn't turn out to be. They swapped him for a couple of other contracts, but you know they don't really have anybody in the ranks to play that role, and it's hard to find those guys. But you know, Luka can do more too. Luka can be, he can show up in better shape. Like, the conditioning has been an issue with him. He can commit himself more to defense. That's certainly an issue. But those are not uncommon things for young players, especially the defensive part of it. A lot of guys come in with a ton of offensive talent and have to learn to be defenders and have to decide to want to become defenders. That's something he can do. I'm sure that's something Jason Kidd will, you know, continue to harp on with him. But I mean, he's already a top five, top seven player in the NBA. You know, that's a pretty great starting point at age 23.
Howard, back here on the show. Howard, I was talking at the beginning of the program, for me at least, what the Warriors have accomplished, you can't separate. Going back to 2015 all the way through now, it is the continuation of the same team, the same cultures, the same stars. Just like for me, the Spurs winning all the rings they did spread over the years, or in the NFL, the Patriots, they're all linked. And I understand that if the Warriors do in fact finish off the Mavs at some point and beat either Miami or Boston, the accomplishment, while on its own is amazing, is part of a greater story. And yet I will find it to be, because I like to rank things, the most impressive or important, or I'm not sure about improbable, but compelling of what will be their four championships, because it came post Kevin Durant. I think too many people might have written them off or written off their almost certain dominance. For you, if the Warriors win an NBA championship this year, what does it mean or say or not mean or say about that organization, that team, Steph Curry, and how you will view them?
It doesn't necessarily change much about how I would view them. I think it might change how, you know, the general fans and public might view them. I already held them in pretty high esteem myself, and just being the first team since the 60s Celtics to go to five straight finals was something in and of itself. Like, we've already lost track of how impressive it is that they went to five straight finals. Five. I mean, that's incredible. The Spurs, you know, couldn't win back-to-back titles, you know, went to a couple of back-to-back, but couldn't win back-to-back titles. They got their five championships over 15 years. It's just really hard to be to consistently, with the same group, go over and over and over again that deep in the playoffs. And they did that. And then they had this pause. And even in the two down years, which, you know, partially was recovering from injuries, partially it was restocking the rest of the roster, they got some lottery picks, but James Wiseman has not played a significant role for this team at all. So it's not like they re-energized themselves by, you know, getting another, you know, franchise star high in the lottery. Like, they've got Wiseman who's not playing, Kuminga who's, you know, not playing much yet, or in this series anyway, and not a ton in the postseason. They didn't reload. They just simply got guys healthy and made some opportunistic moves for guys like Andrew Wiggins, and they developed Jordan Poole, and they're developing their young guys. The fact is, if there's another level of respect that's been earned by this organization, Bill, to your question, it's that they've extended the run without going and getting another Kevin Durant, because that's really hard to do. It was hard to get him the first time. They did not go out and get another superstar. They just stayed the course, focused on player development, made an opportunistic trade that got them Wiggins and the pick that became Kuminga, and then handed the ball back to Steph Curry and said, go do what you do. And, you know, a lot of credit to Draymond Green as well and Klay Thompson. And again, if there's anything that is should be impressive at this stage of where they are as they, you know, go to what, you know, it's almost certainly going to be their sixth finals in 8 years, something, you know, last done by the Bulls in the 90s, it's that this is a sign of culture. If we talk about culture, this is what culture is. It endures. What Draymond Green and Steph Curry and Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, what they've all established over time has endured. And it has lifted up guys like Andrew Wiggins, who was viewed as a lost cause in Minnesota.
Howard back here on the show. Howard, as you heard at the start of the program, I hold you in high regard. I waited as long as I could, gave you as much time, but now it's time for... All right, you ready? Here we go. You may not be ready. I'm going to ask anyway. Better right. player, all-time player, Steph Curry or Kevin Durant?
Oh, come on.
Do you want to pass? You can have. I asked this of Tom Haberstroh the other day, and he went immediate Steph Curry. And I asked someone else this a few weeks ago, got the same come on, and they went immediate Kevin Durant. So I love it in part because everyone seems so certain of their answer, but with differing responses. If I ask, you know, very accomplished NBA thinkers like yourself.
It's just an impossible question. I mean, first of all, these are two of my favorite players in the league right now, just in terms of guys to watch, guys who I admire, guys who I think are about the right things. They're very different in the way they get it done, but I don't know. Like if you were saying, you know, you're picking one or the other from the start of their career and you get him for the entirety of his career, I still don't know what I would do. I mean, Durant is so incredibly unique as a virtual 7-footer with guard skills who, you know, like he's undefinable. They're both kind of one-of-one type players. There's no precedent for either of them. But I will say this. I think you can safely say if you're going to take into account absolutely everything, and it's really, by the way, it's really, really hard to get somebody of Kevin Durant's size with the skills that he has. So you're probably going with him because nobody else can find a guy even remotely like him, although there's nothing remotely like Steph either. I'm talking in circles. There's this. If you talk to people around the Warriors, and Steph has been there his entire career, the impact he makes on them, not just because of his shooting or his overall ball skills, but who he is as a person, the way they've been able to build around him because of his combination of bravado and humility, like he can be out on the court and play like a killer, but still be like just normal dude who makes sure to include everybody, who is an incredible leader. I think he's maybe better suited as a franchise star in that he makes it easy to build around him. And he has stayed put, you know, Durant's bopped around a little bit. I'm not even picking this based on basketball at this point. I think I'm picking it based on maybe some other intangibles. If I'm slightly leaning towards Steph Curry.
Howard back here on the show. And given Durant's massive, remarkable, one of a kind talent, and we've talked, Howard, you know, about Luka Doncic and his talent and Steph and his talent and, you know, LeBron over the years. Do you think in Brooklyn it is as simple as bring Kyrie back, find some of the right supporting cast members within the financial framework, and it'll be different next year because KD is that great? Or do you think for Brooklyn to be successful ultimately with Kevin Durant, so let's say just make an NBA Finals and be competitive in one, do you think they need a serious overhaul in whatever respect they can pull that off?
I don't know what overhaul constitutes at this stage, but I will say this. I guess this will be an overhaul, what I'm about to say. You can't win at the highest level. You can't contend for a championship if two of your three best players are two of the most unreliable, volatile players in the NBA. And that's what they have in Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving. You can keep one of those guys. You can't keep them both. And I'm not even sure that I trust either one on their own. But this is a team that looks like a super team on paper because they have three all-NBA caliber players. But I just don't know that we're ever going to see, just as we never saw Harden and Kyrie and Kevin Durant together for any length of time, I don't know how much we're going to see of Ben Simmons with Kyrie and Kevin Durant, or how much we're going to see Kyrie. Like, it's always something with Kyrie Irving. And I don't, you know, Ben Simmons' back issues, are those a long-term issue now? There's way too much volatility with two of their three stars. Kevin Durant, I rely on all day, every day. Not worried about him, although he's got a lot of miles on him, and he is still a post-Achilles player who, if you look, by the way, he missed a lot of games since coming back from the Achilles. So he's still played like an MVP when he plays, but he's missing a lot of games, and that's not unusual for guys who are post-Achilles. So I don't have a ton of faith in the Nets as constructed right now. I don't know which one I would offload, but I think they gotta either, you know, part ways with Kyrie, see what you can get for him, or part ways with Ben Simmons.
Sports Illustrated's Howard Beck. Howard, real quick one for you, because I know we're running out of time here, but I want to ask you, given what we know and what we don't know in the Eastern Conference, you know, the state of Jimmy Butler's knee inflammation, what's going to become of Marcus Smart and the ankle, do you think that there's a clear favorite for where folks like us will be, Miami or Boston in the finals, or do you think this series can come down to a 6 or 7 game down to the wire coin flip situation?
I always thought it was a coin flip. It's still looking that way based on just the wild swings in play for both teams, based on the injury situations, all of it. I did not think that there is a clear favorite to come out of the East. And if they're slugging it out for 6 or 7 games, I'm sure the Warriors would be perfectly happy to see it.
Howard Beck, a great sport on top of everything else that I said. Howard, I look forward to seeing you in San Francisco, and I'm just going to give you a warning. You're going to be at the hotel or at a press conference, and you're going to hear someone scream, "What the Beck?" And that will be my hello. Thank you.
Just bring the soundbite with you and put it on speaker.
Done. You got it. I'll talk to some of the guys in the NBA League office, see if we can get that set up. My friend, I know it's a busy time. Thank you, as always, for being very gracious and making time.
Always a pleasure, sir. Look forward to seeing you soon.
You too, buddy. Howard Beck on the show. Really, I mean, you heard it. The guy's so good. At Howard Beck on Twitter, Sports Illustrated, does a great podcast. All kinds of content he creates over there. He is, if you like the NBA, promise the man is worth your time. Let's do a little buy or sell. How's buy or sell looking, D-Sell? On a scale 1 to 10, how are we feeling?
This one goes to 11.
So this, if you were going to use a soccer comparison, this buy or sell would be who from the weekend?
I'm going to stick with what I originally said. This would be La Liga.
Ah. Pure magic apparently coming up here on the show next on CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. We don't have imaging, do we, for stuff Henry says? I think I just made that up one day. My son?
No, not yet. Not yet.
I have a mug, so I drink from mugs. I drink water from mugs, these little mugs when I'm doing TV and doing radio. One of them says the Missourian. See this, Tom? It's the Columbia Missourian, student, sort of daily student professional newspaper at the University of Missouri. Another one says, write like a mother. Hard pause. It just says write like a swear word.
Took basic. Me an extra beat, but I got it.
Yeah. And I've had that for 20 years. My son walked into, my son, you know, is reading, walked into, very excited, like reads books now, walked into the living room last night while I was on TV and held up the mug, I have a photo of it, and said to my wife, quote, "Mommy, when you die, can I have your write like a bleep mug? Are you supposed to punish him? Are you supposed to, like, celebrate? I don't even know, parenting-wise, what I'm supposed to be doing here."
Now, did you and Lori laugh when he said this?
I don't know. I was on TV. Okay. So I, like, found – I got a text, and I found out about it later.
Because if Lori – if her reaction was laughter, it'd be really hard to punish him.
Well, look, I would never, ever sell Lori out on the radio. But I would also sell her out by saying she is constantly laughing at stuff. You just have to hold it in. You're going to get there as a parent, right? You just like I had to walk over to Henry, as I mentioned earlier, at his dance fiesta. And he was dancing in front of, I don't know, 1,000 people at this tennis event. Like, he stood up on the wall behind the center court and was like, and I had to walk over and be like, "Bro, I love you, man. The dancing." And everyone's cheering and like, "You can't, you got to not Michael Jackson. Like, you can't." "And please don't pull your shirt off.
That was his time to shine.
Because you're nine." And then Henry walked up to me and was like, "Daddy, I'm going to marry a hottie. I've decided." I'm like, "Cool, bro. Cool. You're nine."
The kid's got confidence, man.
He does have some swagger. So this is the La Liga, the soccer of buy or sell, D-Cell says. I'm excited. You feeling good about that? You live up to it?
I was excited, but as I explained earlier, I thought La Liga was all the rage this weekend. So maybe that's not a good thing when it comes to me comparing it to buy or sell.
Premier League is kind of the big enchilada. I like La Liga because I watch Barcelona, but there wasn't a lot going on there. But you know where a lot's going on?
It's the Premier League.
Oh, man. Man City, Liverpool, Leeds, Burnley, Tottenham, Arsenal. Take all that energy, put it into actual American sports, let D-Cell be the voice of it, and it's buy or sell time.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, let's start off with some NFL as Deshaun Watson still faces 22 civil cases and a possible suspension from the NFL. Some of his accusers will sit down with HBO's Real Sports for an interview that will air tomorrow night. Now, HBO's press release of the interview read, quote, "Several women who have accused Deshaun Watson of sexual misconduct sit down for their first ever national TV interview. In the report, they detail alleged abuse they suffered and share their reaction to Watson's record-breaking $230 million contract with the Cleveland Browns," end quote. Buy or sell, these interviews will make matters worse for Deshaun Watson.
So we've already discussed some of the information that's come out from this, including Deshaun Watson texting a woman, apologizing for allegedly making her cry during one of these incidents. I think Roger Goodell and the NFL, as you discussed earlier, operate from financial well-being, not any sort of moral compass. It's a business, and you know, agree or disagree with that as a motive of how one conducts themselves. That is how they do it. And I think public pressure and outrage, well, not unified anymore on anything, can be a significant driver of things like suspensions. So I think if it's compelling enough, if it's believable, first time there's a human face in these accusations, I think it will lengthen Watson's suspension. That's the most that's going to happen to him. But that is an impact, so I'll buy that they will make matters worse.
Buy.
All right, let's stay with the Cleveland Browns here. Defensive end Jadeveon Clowney has agreed to re-sign with the Browns on a one-year deal worth up to $11 million. Clowney's 9 sacks last season were just short of his career-high 9.5 back in 2017. Buy or sell, Jadeveon Clowney re-signing with the Browns.
All right, before I answer, let's make something obvious. I think what is clear, based on his performance over the years, compared to, or how it does not correlate to, the number of teams who want him to play for them, there's obviously, and we've seen some of the things that go on with Jadeveon Clowney on the field, there is an internal issue, there's an issue with him on a team in terms of people wanting the juice being worth the squeeze. All of that said, the Browns have a ton of upside, have a major ceiling. They will be surrounded by, if not dysfunction, at least drama. It will be a dramatic, drama-filled season. Whether that curdles into dysfunction, we're going to find out. So I will buy that the risk-reward ratio, and it is wide here, is worth in a one-year deal. The guy is a really good football player. And if that defense can be great and great enough to keep them in games for however long in the season, for however long Deshaun Watson is suspended. And if Deshaun Watson can come back, it's been a long layover, and he can play at a high level. The Browns are the kind of team that they sneak into the postseason, I think, could make a really dangerous and deep run.
All right, let's talk some quarterbacks here. The Colts have made big changes this offseason at quarterback, having traded Carson Wentz to the Commanders and then brought in Matt Ryan. Now, it appears they aren't done, though, as reports are indicating that Indianapolis is close to bringing in Nick Foles to back up Matty Ice. Buy or sell Nick Foles as Matt Ryan's backup?
So I don't know what the Colts' current odds are to win the upcoming Super Bowl. But my guess is that if, let's say the Colts, I have no idea. Let's say the Colts are 14-1. I don't even know if that's right. I'm purely guessing, D-Cell. If Matt Ryan were to get injured in week 15 and Nick Foles were to come in, those odds would go to 2-1. Nick Foles is a magical unicorn. He's a genie, but you have to rub the lamp at the exact right time with the injury to the other QB. So what was your question? Is this going to help them? Buy. Buy that I love Nick Foles as the backup.
Buy.
Nick Foles is only, he's either really bad or he's a Super Bowl-level contending quarterback if late in the season he replaces an injured star who is inconsistent in their ability to be great.
I know you're a fan of Nick Foles.
I love the Nick Foles storyline.
Will he get a start this season? And we're certainly, I don't want anybody to read into this, we're not wishing for injury for Matt Ryan. Will he get a start this season? Assuming also, too, that this deal gets finalized.
Bye. He'll start.
Bye.
Guys get banged up. It's a longer season. The combination of, and I don't want Matt Ryan to get injured either, but there's certainly, that is a realistic possibility in the National Football League for anyone, especially an older QB. Or maybe the Colts shock the world. Maybe they start off 14-2, Tom, and Foles starts because they rest Matt Ryan at the end of the year.
It can go
team of the year, shock of the year.
Can go any way with the Colts. Let's get to some.
It's going to be, hey, you know what? That Colts season is going to be Foles of drama.
Bye.
Yeah.
I got that same energy on Friday. We had about 4 or 5 puns on Friday, and you continued it.
Yeah, I'm not Ryan to you.
Bye.
Oh, double bye.
Let's get to some golf here. Justin Thomas had an historic Sunday at Southern Hills as he came back from 7 strokes behind to win the PGA Championship, beating Will Zalatoris in a 3-hole playoff. Buy or sell that Justin Thomas's comeback was must-see TV.
So I understand, and there was a huge collapse, too, that made that possible. I understand I'm supposed to say yes. I understand the sports talk host, radio host, I'm supposed to, like, golf is amazing. I'm just going to be honest and tell you, sell.
Sell.
I wasn't compelled by it. I was really into Jarrett Bell's story about Dan Snyder, and I found that fascinating. I was, over the weekend, I was really into soccer, especially the Premier League. I had Barcelona, which was a terrible match, but whatever. I had it on TiVo on delay because I wanted to watch it. I was into a lot of baseball yesterday. I'm a big, like, Sunday is a big baseball day for me because I have time. And I have a fantasy league, so there's like I have a lot riding on it. Got just crushed by Tom DiBenedetto, Jim Rome's executive producer, my former producer. Not cool, D-Ben. And obviously there was NBA that I was focused on watching. I did not. I tracked the golf. I did not watch the golf, Tom. It made me a bad person.
I am not major golf fan either. I only check in on the majors. I was super bummed out about Tiger over the weekend. I flipped it on Sunday. I thought it was a buzzkill, the leaderboard. I tracked it. I quickly turned it back on once I saw Justin Thomas was his improbable comeback. So I am with you. I am in that same boat.
Now, to be fair, for the playoff, I was on TV. I was, like, working on CBS Sports HQ. I was in a studio, so I wasn't really able to watch it. I mean, I kind of had it on, but I didn't process any of it other than Justin Thomas winning. I mean, it's an amazing thing to be. The guy was seven strokes off the lead. On a Sunday, at a major, I like Justin Thomas. He's a really good player. And maybe it was, and we'll talk about this in about 15 minutes, it might have been the Tiger hangover. Because if Tiger had played and shot a 74 on Sunday, right, shot a 74, I'm 100% focused on Justin Thomas for some reason. But with Tiger pulling out after Saturday after shooting a 79, is that what he shot? It lost a lot of its luster for me.
All right, let's get to some NBA here. The Lakers are reportedly down to three candidates for their head coaching job: Darvin Ham, Terry Stotts, and Kenny Atkinson. And according to The Athletic, Darvin Ham made the strongest impression. Now, Ham, of course, has no head coaching experience. Buy or sell, it would be a mistake for the Lakers to hire a head coach who has no head coaching experience.
I'm going to sell that, actually.
Sell.
First of all, Ham is incredibly well-respected, like well-regarded. And there are a lot of examples I can point to, but I'll just go Ime Udoka. That guy was a first-time, is a first-time head coach. And he, and it, by the way, there was a learning curve. It took him a while to figure it out. I'll go, all right, I said I was going to do one. I'm going to do one more. Nick Nurse, when he got hired, was a first-time head coach. I think the real question is not, do you hire a first-time head coach? It's, are you hiring the proper rising star? Retreads tend not to work, especially with LeBron. I do think there's a question of, can you manage LeBron James and the egos and the expectations? There's a whole separate issue with Russell Westbrook. But Ham has a reputation for being very well-respected by players, by that locker room that he's currently a part of. I actually, again, you don't know. You got to leave it to Rob Pelinka to make the right assessment and the other people in that organization. But from a distance, from what I've heard, not only do I like the idea of in theory, the right first-time head coach, I think this first-time head coach could be great.
All right, on Saturday, benches cleared in the Bronx between the White Sox and the Yankees after Josh Donaldson called Tim Robinson, quote, Jackie. Now, after the game, New York's Josh Donaldson tried to explain what happened.
First inning, I called him Jackie. So let me give you a little context of that. 2019, he came out with an interview, said that he's a new Jackie Robinson of baseball. He's going to bring back fun for the game, right? And 2019, when I played for Atlanta, we actually joked about that on the game. I don't know what's changed from, and I've said it to him in years past, not in any manner than just joking around for the fact that he called himself Jackie Robinson, you know. So if something has changed from that, like my meaning of that is not at any term trying to be racist by any fact of the matter.
All right, but that's not how Tim Anderson viewed the situation.
Yeah, he just made a, you know, disrespectful comment. You know, basically was, you know, trying to call me Jackie Robinson. I was like, what's up, Jackie? You know, I don't play like that. You know, I don't really play at all. You know, I wasn't really, you know, bothering nobody today. But, you know, he made a comment, and, you know, it was disrespectful.
Now, Yankees manager Aaron Boone has also added that the subject matter was, quote, somewhere Donaldson should not be going, end quote. Boone also added that Donaldson had no malicious intent. Buy or sell that Major League Baseball needs to launch an investigation into the situation.
All right, so I'm going to give you an opinion, even though we don't hear each other as a country very well on topics that surround a lot of issues, including race and racism. Should they launch an investigation? I'm going to sell that they should launch an investigation. I'm going to
sell.
I'm going to take Donaldson at his word and yours, Tom, because I'm not familiar with the previous Jackie comments. And I'm going to take it at face value that, man, it's such a difficult topic that Anderson. All right, now I'm going to go into territory that I guess I'm not supposed to. I don't know that you should ever be calling yourself Jackie Robinson. In any context, because, and aside from the racial implications, and by the way, Jackie Robinson, one of the most important ambassadors and trailblazers in the history of American culture for trying to combat what is a history of racism in this country. I mean, like, that guy is an American hero for me before you get into the heroics of his baseball, like just the baseball. And what he endured. And let's not pretend Jackie Robinson started, you know, was able to desegregate, integrate baseball, and then at the back end of his career, everything was fixed. That's not the way that it works. But a huge step. That is something I think I would be weary to compare myself to. Take all that aside. Take all the important things, just the sports. I don't know that any athlete should ever compare themselves to LeBron, Babe Ruth, I'm the next Tom Brady. It just... So I could see where Tim Anderson would mean one thing, right? Would be speaking to and connected to a very important historical reality beyond sports, and that Tim Anderson gets to, in a significant way for him, be someone who walks on that trail and tries to increase and further that trail. that Jackie Robinson began to blaze. And I could see where someone like Donaldson would not understand or comprehend what they're talking about. So I'll take them both at their word. One guy was offended. One guy did not intend it the way that it was come across. And we can maybe listen to each other a little bit and understand each other's point of view, including both of these guys. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. It's a bummer, but Tiger is Tiger. And his departure from the PGA Championship, while on its face is a bummer and sad and doesn't bode well for his future, to me, is another mark of Tiger's greatness. I'm going to explain why his withdrawal on Saturday from another major is actually, at least in my book, a reminder of why Tiger is maybe my favorite athlete of all time. That's coming up on Rider Than You after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Chris Lopresti.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Rider Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. It's Rider Than You here on CBS Sports Radio. A little breaking news for you. Heat playing the Celtics tonight, Game 4 in Boston. Miami up 2-1, dominating first half in Game 3, and then Boston clawed their way back. Jimmy Butler sitting with some knee inflammation. Questions about whether Jimmy Butler would play. Eric Spoelstra just met with the media, says that Jimmy Butler is going to warm up and go through shoot-around with the intention he'll play tonight. That's the expectation. We don't know to what degree, if any, he will be hobbled or he will be limited. We'll find out almost certainly in the game. What is surprising, and there are no details yet out that I have seen as to why this is the case, Tyler Hero will not play tonight. Duncan Robinson legacy game. They gave him like $90 million in the offseason and then haven't played him. All right. D-Cell, can I give you my take on Tiger that might seem a little backwards?
Yes, and I already know we do not agree on this one.
Good, that makes me feel like I'm pretty solid ground. Tiger barely made the cut. So Tiger on Thursday started with a birdie, then had a really rough round. I think he was 4 over, was able to recover somewhat on day 2. Didn't play amazing, but made the cut. Wasn't easy. And then on Saturday, the wheels came off, 79, one of the worst rounds you'll ever see Tiger Woods play, and then pulled out of the PGA Championship. did not play Sunday. And to me, it was actually a reinforcer of my love for Tiger and my belief in his greatness. Because Tiger Woods, who, and this is not lip service, this is real, is a top 1% of the 1% of the 1% competitor in the history of sports. The guy wants to win. He's not doing things as a showcase for his ego. He doesn't want to be a figurehead. But he also, and these things have never been in conflict before, loves golf. It is a true passion for him. And those athletes who love the sport remarkably deeply, and that connects to their greatness, you can see it. You can sense it. Tom Brady is playing into his mid-40s. Why? It's not an ego chase. It's not a legacy chase. It is a love of the game. It is a deep love for the sport. LeBron James loves basketball, and Tiger Woods loves golf. And that he put himself through physical pain. Physical. The guy was in a car wreck that would have killed a lot of people. And as someone who has been in a pretty bad car wreck, I can tell you that is a traumatic thing. And I think I told you this detail, that I've driven many times by where Tiger had his wreck. It's not far from here. It's probably 12 miles as the crow flies, a little Iowa expression for you, from where I'm sitting. It is a treacherous spot. And where his car went down, the ravine, it looks like if the car went down there, you wouldn't make it. And so real accident, serious accident, life-threatening, that he put himself through physical pain, that he grinded it out, that he played at a level that almost no one on earth could do with his physical ailments. To me, it's a reminder and a testament to his will and his toughness and his love for the game. And all that does is enhance how I feel about the things he's actually accomplished over the course of his career.
I'm with you. The guy loves the sport. I'm with you. He has that mentality. He just wants to compete. He just wants to win. But what I'm about to say is what Tiger told us months ago. He said he is going to be a part-time player now. You brought up Tom Brady. He's still playing in the NFL at 45 years old, about to be 46. It's because his body is allowing him to. He has that same competitive drive. He has that same love for his sport, but his body hasn't broken down yet. Tiger has to listen to his body, and I'm fearful if he doesn't, he's not even going to be a part-time player. It's only going to get worse. He needs to pick his spots better. We all saw what kind of shape his body was in after the Masters. He could barely walk down a flight of stairs.
He's not going to skip a major. So here's the thing. If this were the, I'm not going to pick on a tournament. I will pick on a tournament. If this was the John Deere Classic in my home state, and he forced his way into that when he shouldn't fine. It's the PGA Championship. He made it through 3 days on a bum leg.
I understand, but how about being in better shape for the next major when he has another month and a half to recover? He could barely walk downstairs.
So you want him to skip a major he's 50-50 on whether he can compete in at the risk that what happened over... By the way, he made the cut.
I understand he made the cut, but for me, and I'm being selfish, I am a huge Tiger fan. There was nobody more geeked up to watch him in the Masters than me. Seeing him this weekend was such a buzzkill. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see him hobbling around out there in physical pain. Playing poorly is one thing. If he shoots a 79, he shoots a 79. I would love to see him out there. Watching him walk around in pain, I don't need to see that.
For me, and like Rafa Nadal, who is going to try to win a French Open and get to 22 Grand Slams starting, I guess, today. I think the French Open starts today. Has a chronic foot issue that he's had his whole career and is in massive pain. And it's hobbled him the last month. I don't think he'll win the French Open. I think Djokovic or Alcaraz or someone else will because of his foot. But Nadal fighting through the pain, to me, even though it's probably going to bring him up short, and doing it at the French Open because he loves that event, enhances my love and respect for what he does on the field. Same for Tiger. Now, I think it's a little different. It is different in these individual sports where you can win and affect a championship every 2 or 3 months. Whereas for in football, once Tom Brady is ineffective for 5 weeks or 6 weeks in a row, he's done, right? You can't be bad for 2 months or 3 months in football and then have a chance later. Because especially at 45, they're going to write you off or your team's not going to succeed. Someone's going to step in and take your spot. So I get the Tom Brady comparison. For me, the standard's a little different because Tiger is going to have to, I think, go through grueling failures, go through days like Saturday. If, and it's a long shot, but I'm never ruling him out again, if he's ever going to will his body and forge his body back to a place where he can be competitive even one more time at a major, and I'll go further. He's never going to win. He's never going to win a U.S. Open again, ever. His best shot is probably the right links course at an Open Championship across the pond, or a Masters. I guess there's a PGA Tour you could win, but so I'm down with him going to the U.S. Open and going to the PGA, and basically putting his body through hell. If that's part of a process where 2 or 3 years from now he's got a chance at one magical moment at Augusta again.
I'm just fearful, because let's remember again, we're what, 15, 16 months removed from that wreck where he's lucky to have his life, he's lucky to have both of his legs. I'm fearful he's pushing his body too hard, too fast. I don't want to see another major setback where he's missing 5, 6 months of competitive golf.
I get it, and that's fair. I just think you have to trust him to hopefully know. And by the way, pulling out on Saturday, I think is probably a sign that when it's too much, right? And he'll step away. But I think we agree we both love Tiger. Golf's better with him even when he's shooting 79s, by the way. It just is. That is the show. Thank you to Howard Beck. Thank you to Crystal Lopresti. Thank you to D-Cell. I'm Bill Ryder. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. We'll see you back here tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.